Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen or take part. Something you'd like to talk about? Give us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I think we're in the most exciting week of the calendar for Christians, for believers. I mean, the event, the Christ event, his death, burial, and resurrection happened some 2,000 years ago, and it's just a single act that brought profound results in our lives. And it's just an amazing, amazing story, and it really is good news. And it can be good news for each and every person on the planet who will turn to Jesus by faith and receive him. And the pinnacle of the story is the resurrection. That's the linchpin. Upon that event, that reality, that truth, that fact, Christianity rests. Without it, there is no Christianity. Without it, there is no faith. Without it, there is no life. There is no hope. We're hopeless people. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But because of resurrection, there's all sorts of things that come into our lives as a result. And as I was thinking about it, guys, three words came to mind in relationship to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first is hope. Jesus's resurrection brings hope to each and every one of our lives. The second is life itself. We who were dead in sin now have the opportunity to be raised to life along with Jesus Christ. And the third is power. We can't live good lives or godly lives on our own. We don't have the power to do so. But Christ's resurrection brings us the power we need to actually live as children of God in this world of darkness. And so I think those are three significant words for every believer to embrace, to understand. Otherwise, it's just a story, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Bob, what's so unique about this ministry, Basic Gospel, I think, is that we are constantly reminding people, hey, you know, Christianity at large is telling people Jesus rose from the dead, and that's wonderful. And yet we are saying there's another aspect to this, and that is that we are raised with him, that this hope that you're talking about, it's not just a hope in a God who could raise his own son from the dead, but it's a God who could raise us from the dead with him. And, you know, Luke 20 calls us children of the resurrection. Ephesians 2:6 says we were raised up with him and seated in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1 says we've been raised with Christ. I mean, this is the hope. We're going to get resurrection bodies someday. That's a great hope. But now we've got resurrection spirits. I mean, we are new at the core, and that's a hope for right now.
Yeah, the life is not for the by and by. It's not going to be something that happens to us, you know, when we die or at the resurrection of the body. We get life today. I mean, Jesus comes to live inside of us today. And that life changes us from the inside out. And it's the most significant event in human history. And as far as our lives are concerned, the day that Jesus comes to live inside of us is the most significant event in our lives, because it recalibrates everything. It resets the course for us. It puts us on a new path altogether, one that is filled with joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. And apart from resurrection, we couldn't experience any of those things.
Yeah, people want a miracle in their lives. I mean, maybe some people out there listening right now, you've been hoping or waiting or maybe even pleading with God for a miracle to happen. And it seems like we want to showcase miracles and put them up on a pedestal. And yet we're talking about the greatest miracle that ever happens in our lives. I mean, for God to reach down into our hearts and take out our heart of stone and resurrect us as new creations with a new heart. I mean, what he's saying is you got a whole new set of desires. whatever happened in that Garden of Eden thousands of years ago, well, that trend has now been reversed in your life. I mean, you talk about a miracle. This is a personal miracle at the most fundamental level, and that's what we're celebrating at Easter.
Yeah, and oftentimes we just kind of gloss over that. Yeah, I prayed a prayer, I walked an aisle, I did this, and we never stop to think and ask what actually happened to me. Mm-hmm. But when we ask that question, boy, it becomes, as you said, the greatest miracle ever. Yeah. You know, that because we don't know what's happened to us, we're always looking to God for new signs, for new things. You know, we pray for parking spaces right up front at the mall. We pray for, you know, physical healing. We pray for all sorts of things, and that's okay to pray for those things, but oftentimes we do so because we want that extra special touch from God, and we fail to realize that we've already gotten it through new birth, through this resurrection life. Through what Christ does for us when we go from death to life through faith in Him. There's not going to be a miracle that you experience that will top that. Never, ever in your life. And we just encourage you to, you know, as Mary did after the birth of Jesus, she pondered things in her heart. We're encouraging you as believers in Christ to ponder what Christ has done for you. Through His death, His burial, and resurrection, as you do, you will grow just a million times inside with this thankfulness and this great gratefulness to what He has accomplished for you. And that's why this Easter, this resurrection celebration, is such a wonderful thing that we do each and every year. Well, we do have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. We're going to go to Hawthorne, New York, and talk to Lewis, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lewis.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to, a couple of things. I wanted to just thank you for being on the air. I've been blessed, and I'm in agreement with you, probably in every area that you teach on about the Christian life. And but there's one I got an issue with this not asking for forgiveness when we sin. I have a big problem with that. I just want to ask you a question, and I'll probably just take my answer on the air. I didn't want to hold up other callers. I was looking this morning, and I've been reading the Psalms. First of all, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that David was a man after God's own heart, and that he had a good relationship with the Lord? Valid.
Yes.
Most absolutely. Definitely. That's what the Word says.
Well, if you go over all the Psalms, and he's accredited with, I believe it's 100 of them, but I'm not too sure, there are numerous, without number, of times when he's asking for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now, why would he be doing that if he knew the Lord, he had a relationship with the Lord, he was a man after God's own heart? He was either saved or he wasn't saved.
I'm going to jump in, Lewis, and give you
I'll take the answer over the
pretty, air. A pretty quick answer, and then Andrew and Richard will, you know, kind of follow up. As far as David asking for forgiveness, there was something that he knew about his sin. He knew that the blood of bulls and goats would not be sufficient to remove that sin from the eyes of God. And so he recognized that if anything was going to happen, it had to be an extension of God's mercy. So basically through those Psalms, he was pleading for God's mercy. Well, that mercy has been fully given to each and every one of us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The very thing that could take away my sins, the very thing that could take away David's sins, finally was offered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so on this side of the cross, we live in thankfulness for what Christ has accomplished for us in shedding His blood. The sacrifice, the lone sacrifice that could provide forgiveness, finally occurred. In David's life, that sacrifice wasn't going to be given. So he recognized that it was coming, and he pleaded for God's mercy. But guys, this is an important point. David lived in a different covenant. He certainly had an incredible relationship with the Lord, and I think his pleas for God's mercy was evidence of his heart for God, his faith in God, his trust in God. But we have Jesus, don't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, Bob, you know, the best solid answer I think you've already given, but it can be summed up in two words: new covenant. Same God, wonderful guy named David, new covenant now. And so if there's a new covenant now, it changes everything. I mean, it changes, you would think that Jesus Christ hanging on a cross with blood all over him would change the way that we would relate to God. And it absolutely does. And so David hasn't seen this. He hasn't experienced this. He hopes for the Messiah one day in the future. He's hanging on to a credit card. He's going to cash in on the benefits. But, you know, we live on this side of the cross. And so Colossians 2 says he forgave us all our sins. 1 John 2 says, your sins have been forgiven. Ephesians 4 says, God forgave, past tense, he forgave you. Hebrews 10 says, he remembers your sins no more. So we're looking back on something, and David had not known this yet. And so he's hoping and pleading and begging for forgiveness. I mean, so is Samson. Samson is seeing the Holy Spirit fall down on him for a temporary time for an act of service with special strength, and then the Holy Spirit goes. The disciples, experienced something of the Holy Spirit, but it was not until Pentecost that he came to live permanently in them. And so what we get on this side of the cross because of Easter, because of the death and resurrection, what we get on this side of the cross because of Easter is a new covenant with total forgiveness and the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we can look back at David and Abraham and Samson and say, wow, weren't they neat people? And they were incredible servants of the Lord. But Hebrews tells us that we have something better.
Yes, indeed. I know, Richard, Psalm 51 used to be one of your go-to passages.
Yes, I lived it.
And one of the things that David prays there is, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. We don't pray that today, do we?
No, we don't. Because Jesus himself said, nothing can take you out of my hand. Well, if I'm in Jesus' hand, that means the Holy Spirit is living in me and will not leave me. It comes back to what we talked about at the beginning with this hope, power, and life. If you think you can lose your salvation, can lose the Holy Spirit because you've sinned, then you have no hope, there is no power, and there is no life. And no wonder we're depressed. On the other hand, when we do have this life and this hope and this power, we are free for the first time in our lives to actually confess, to agree with God, to say, Lord, you know I just messed up. I thank you for your forgiveness, your ongoing forgiveness, but please teach me how to stop thinking this way so that I can start thinking with your thoughts and with your love and with your attitude toward other people. It's a completely different way of doing it. And under the new covenant, no one is ever told to confess or to ask for forgiveness. And that's where the mix-up comes. We think that confessing, that is agreeing with God about something, our salvation, we're supposed to confess that as well, is the same thing as asking for forgiveness. It is not. It's a completely different kind of relationship that we've got.
Yeah, so we don't want people to get us wrong. I mean, you hear us, don't you? I mean, here we are. We're saying if we sin, if we blow it, and we do all the time, we struggle, we sin, what do? Well, we stop. We turn from it. We ask God for wisdom. We get away from it. We flee temptation. We hate sin. Sin stinks. That's a no-brainer. I think every Christian in their right mind knows that sin stinks and we shouldn't be out there sinning. But the question is, how do I stop? I mean, where does the power come from? And I guess what we're saying is, guys, that the power comes from A, knowing that you're forgiven, B, knowing that God is close to you. In fact, he lives in you, and the power comes from him, and he is not holding our forgiveness hostage until we beg for it. The blood of Christ purchased it once for all, and we are forgiven people.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And I think this is such an important discussion. One of the things that just keeps churning in my mind and in my heart and in my head is when you really know the grace of God, I mean, when you really know the grace of God, the grace that forgives, the grace that gives life, that makes us alive together with Christ, the grace that teaches us to say no to sin, the grace that completes the work of conforming us into the image of Christ Jesus. When you really know the grace of God, I think you take on a different understanding of the nature of sin. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just see it under the law, sin is nothing more than a violation of the law. Well, and if it's a violation of the law, then I'm scared I'm going to be punished, and those sort of things. But sin, the reason God calls it sin is because it brings harm into the lives of other people. It does damage to people. And only the grace of God enables you to see it in that light. And that's why God's grace is the very thing that moves us to turn away from it. It moves us to say no to it. It moves us to reach out to those that we have offended and to restore and to be reconciled and to bring restitution if necessary. Mm-hmm. It's only the grace of God that enables us to see sin for what it is, and it's only the grace of God that moves us in such a way that can change us from the inside out. And it's so vitally important that we know that our sins are forgiven so that we can see the act objectively.
Yeah, and then it's safe to be truthful.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let me point out the irony of this situation. I mean, here we are at Easter weekend, and we're celebrating the resurrection, and yet we wrestle, as the church in general, we wrestle with the forgiveness issue. It's like we're going to be stuck in Friday instead of moving on to Sunday. We're stuck in day one, questions about did day one work, versus moving on to day three and celebrating Jesus' resurrection. So until we have settled this forgiveness issue, we are going to just wander and wallow in day one. And really, we need to graduate and say, thank you. I'm a forgiven person. I get it. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed once and it worked and he didn't leave any sins out. And so I'm 100% forgiven and thank you. And so now I'm going to move on to Easter. I'm going to celebrate the resurrection life of Christ, which is unshakable, unbreakable, uninterruptible. He lives in me 24/7 without interruption. And so sin cannot interrupt his presence because I am forgiven. These things are linked, but we have to move on from day one and celebrate day three.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Alicia listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, guys. First, thank you very much for taking my call. I've been a listener for over a year of your station. I have gotten more out of your station than I have from my own church. I'm Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I was born and raised as a Catholic. My problem is this. At home, when I'm with family, when I'm with friends from the church, I feel, I know that I am saved. But I work full-time at a job which is just total darkness. I can wake up in the morning and I am fine and I say, thank you, Lord. Just last night, I woke up at, I just feel like the Lord woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. I went to sleep last night and I couldn't. I was trying to read and I was like falling asleep and I fell asleep, so I couldn't read. And I kind of felt guilty over that because I couldn't read the scripture that I was wanting to read. But in the middle of the night, at 2:30 in the morning, I just like got this burst of energy, and I got up and I read, and I was reading Romans chapter 2, and you know, and I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then I went to sleep at 4:00, I got up at 5:30, I went to work, and I was like in a great mood. And the minute I walk into my office, I have to tell you, I just unlocked.
Well, Alicia, it's, you know, there was a guy that gave a sermon years ago, and the name of it was It's Friday, Sunday's Coming. And it was a look at the cross, and it was a powerful, one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard. But the fact is that Sunday's come. There's resurrection. We've been made new. Christ has come to live inside of us, and we have this new covenant. But we live out this life, this Sunday life, in a Friday world. And that's where the difficulty comes. Like I said, at home, you feel the presence of God, and then you go into a workplace that's worldly, that is anti-God, and it just feels like all of that fresh air of Jesus's love and grace is just sucked out of the room. And it's difficult. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to stay strong in that. But that's where you have to rely upon the presence of Christ Jesus in your life. He's there with you. You're not alone. You're not going into that situation all by yourself. He's right there with you. And so, Alicia, I just ask you, do you know that Christ has come to live inside of your life? Has he made you alive, raised you from death to life?
I do know. I do believe. Wholeheartedly, I believe that. I'm torturing myself because of the feelings that I get in the office. I mean, I spend you spend so much time in your job. You spend more time in your job than you do at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so difficult. They are so rude and so ungodly.
Alicia, you know, one thought I have here is it feels like you are measuring what your life should feel like. In other words, boy, if I were truly spiritual when I went to my job, I would feel this, but all I feel is this. And so you measure your emotions and you determine that, oh, I guess I'm not living the life or I'm not spiritual enough. But, you know, even if people are really being crass and dirty and immoral around you, number one, you are not them. And the fact that they are doing that around you or near you, you are not them. And so your hope and your peace can come from who you are, not from who they are. And so your hope is not in geography. You feel great at home, but you feel horrible at work. Well, that's geography. So if you begin to get your identity from Christ in you rather than from geography, then you know what? I don't care what I feel at home. I don't care what I feel at work. I am who I am in Christ, and it's not going to come from my geographical location. The people around me, they are not me. I am who I am in Christ.
Well, Alicia, let's do this for you. We have a wonderful series on resurrection power for daily living. Let me put it into your hands,
you.
Okay?
I do have it. I am a supporter of your station, and I got that in the mail. I have
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, listen through that and then call us back, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I just needed somebody to hear me.
Well, you call anytime, Alicia. We would love to hear from you and talk with you and just cultivate this relationship together. So I'm glad you called today.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless.
Guys, take a few seconds and talk about our upcoming conference, Stand 2014.
Well, Andrew, we're going to have a lot of fun, aren't we, in June?
Oh, yeah, Bob. I'm looking forward to it. In June, we're going to do the Stand 2014 conference. You heard John Lynch, maybe, earlier this week on the broadcast. John Lynch, myself, and Bob Christopher, the three of us, teaming up for Stand 2014, talking about what it means to stand in the grace of God and stand together. If you felt alone, isolated, out there on an island somewhere, well, we invite you to join us, be a part of our team, and celebrate at Stand 2014.
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. We had a conference like this last year. It was just the highlight of the year for so many people. We already have folks from all over the country signed up. Come join us June 19th through the 21st.
It's going to be a great time. I'm certainly looking forward to it as well. A couple of other things as we close the broadcast. If you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And also, there are many resources available to you in our online store at Basic Gospel, and you can access them all when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Also, coming down to the final few days of our offer for Bob Christopher CD series, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And to make your gift and request your copy, simply go to basicgospel.net, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob, Richard, Andrew, and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for a Good Friday edition of Basic Gospel.